quick manner. The plan for the day is we'll get Andrew to do a presentation. Going through that presentation, we will. Andrew's quite happy to take questions, I think. And then we can take questions at the end of the day as well. So, and we hope to be finished by 12 o'clock because Wayne's got another meeting at 2 in Nelson. So if we can just, if the questions don't get dumped up, that'll be good. Other than that, I'll let you get in on Andrew. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much for the invite. So, doing a good job of talking about the structure of who we are and where we are. It can be a little bit difficult with half our audience at this side and half our audience at this side, but we'll work that out. Just had a little bit of chat about why we got into meters, and of course the favourite topic of the region at the moment, you know, how safe are they? You can almost see the extent of our network there. As Tony said, we've got power lines from basically Springs Junction North. We have the job of supplying safe and cost-effective energy to all of medical consumers from Springs Junction up Farewell Spit in the north, Kokura, Adwai area, north of Nelson City in the east. There's 9,000 consumers in the middle of Nelson City, the CBD, that we don't look after. They're managed by Nelson Electricity. But there are 38,000 consumers in the rest of that area are all looked after by us. The Trust and Network Tasman is one little complication, which Tony explained. The second and probably the biggest one is who are we as a network company, a large company, versus the retailers, which you guys pay your power bills to. Back in 1911, when Mr. Ellis first started generating electricity in Brightwater, it was a lot simpler then, one guy did the whole thing. The industry stayed like that until the 90s, when deregulation split us up into retailers, which could sell electricity to consumers and own generation, and distribution companies like ourselves. And pretty soon, with the Golden Bay Electric Power Board, Wyoming Electric Power Board, it's all under one umbrella now Network Tasman. So out of your annual power bill, around about $2,000 for the average home in our region. You pay all of that to the retailer. The retailer on passes about 30% to us. We pass 10% of that on to Transpower to get the energy from the generating stations at the bottom of the South Island, North Island, through to our region here. About 10% of your bill we need to manage the network we've got, and about the same amount gets returned back each year as Tony said, discounts and dividends back to the consumers.
The shareholders.
Yes, that's right, the shareholders of the trust. So why are we investing in metering? There's a bunch of reasons. We used to own all the meters back before deregulation. They were sold off with the consumers, with the customers as they were back then, to this new entity, the retailers. It'd be fair to say that there's not a lot of investment has been made in those meters since the 90s, when it was when the industry was split. The government has realised that we need to do a better job of ensuring that these devices are accurate, and new regulations from the Energy Authority state that all homes need to be recertified every 15 years, businesses, industry every 10 years. Obviously they're bigger users. We didn't need to get involved, we could have left it up to the retailers, but we decided that our involvement would ensure a better technical solution for the region. It would ensure we got better information back from these devices and to help us better manage our network. And if anybody else was coming into the region looking at investing $15 million, $20 million in a metering project, they're going to get profits from that. We can ensure that those profits stay within the trust structure here by us making this investment rather than someone else. Just a few statistics. On the meters, there's over 2.7 million cubic meters in New Zealand. Over a million have already been changed to the new electronic meters.
Whereabouts are they?
Everywhere, a lot in Auckland. Canterbury was one of the first regions. But yeah, nationwide, most of it in the North Island and in the Canterbury area. Our consumers, the retailers, have 86,000 metres on switchboards across the region at the moment, and another 35,000 relays. Our plan is to replace all of those with around about 40,000 electronic metres. We can take 3 metres and a relay off your switchboard and replace it with one electronic device that does the whole job. I guess we could have just gone and put the old analog meters, or new analog meters, back on the switchboards. We chose not to do that. The first reason was 120,000 devices versus 40,000 devices. The other main reasons is as you can see there, you know, we know that we can get more information from these meters that help us better manage the network, do a better job of keeping the lights on. We know that if we can do a more cost-effective job of keeping the lights on, there's less pressure for us on raising prices, which keeps your costs down. And also there's a benefit of consumers getting more accurate information, perhaps even down to every half hour, looking at what energy is consumed, where it's consumed, when it's consumed, and you're reducing your own costs. And of course, looking forward, the network today is being used in a completely different manner than the way it was being used back in 1911, when Mr. Ellis first put his flour mill onto electricity. He used that electricity in the daytime to mill flour, and in the night time he lit street lights down Whitewater. Today we've got all sorts of different reasons that people are using power. People are expecting it on 24/7. They're expecting it to do whatever they ask it to do, whether it's pump, large irrigation, whether it's simply driving your TV, your radio, whether it's a network that you can inject your solar energy back into and end up reducing your costs. But just tell them a bit more detail on those three areas of benefits. Obviously the first one is the simplest one that we're going to have straight away is simply looking at where we have energy on the network and where we don't. This is a shot from Raglan. Well, almost looks like Wainui. Well Networks supply Hamilton, the Raglan area. They put these meters in, have been putting these meters in over the last couple of years. One of the first advantages they took of it was looking, setting up a system so that every time the supply goes off of the house, it responded as if it was a customer calling in to say, hey, I've got no power. At the moment, that's how we know about electricity outages. We've got 80 devices, electronic, automatic devices throughout the network that tell us when the upper network loses supply. But if you lose supply at your home, or it's a small spur down a valley and it's one of our fuses which blows, the only way that we know the power's off is when somebody rings us. We send Roger and Colin out to deal with that. If we can see straight away that there's two or three people down a valley, we know that they need to start looking from the beginning of the valley for a possible tree or an event on the network. If it's only one home, then highly likely it's simply an NCP fuse, perhaps due to overload or a fault in their customer's premise. We also will be able to get voltage reports out of these meters. They'll flag up when a certain area, they'll flag up when they've seeing a reduced voltage on the network. This is a real life shot from Hamilton. These homes, the voltage, it's still, the power's still on, people still using power, but the voltage is actually below the limits specified by the network. These homes are good as gold. That indicates that there's a potential, either a tapping issue on the transformer, or even perhaps a high impedance connection on one of the lines. The rollout in Australia, the network company over there is using this to actually look through their network and find problem connections before the power's gone off. They're effectively sending Faultman out on a sunny day, while the power's all on, there's nothing wrong. They're telling them which power pole to go to, which wire to look at, which connection to change. And the faultmen are doing that before the customer sees any outage. Before the customer, perhaps a dairy farm, loses one phase, you end up with three-phase motors sitting on two phases, causing problems. They're actually fixing faults before the faults occur. It'll be a few years before we get to that, and we need meters at almost every home before we can get to that level of detail, but that's certainly where we want to get to. So that was a couple of benefits that we're going to get within the network, which I think are good for everybody. This is hopefully something that you'll see very early on in the rollout. We're working with a software house to take the information from these meters, create a little web page, a web portal that you guys can log into, look at your daily consumption, look at your half-hourly consumption, look at what your bill's going to be at the end of the month, rather than waiting for the end of the month, getting either an estimate read, getting an actual read, getting a big surprise. You'll actually know, you'll be able to budget better. The software, we're hoping, will have a feature where you can set alarms in it, so that when you get up to your to the spend that you want to get to, send you a little text, a little email, giving you a just letting you manage your spend on electricity. Say no more surprises, no more estimates from retailers, and of course
no more arguing with machines. I mean, you can't contest what that says, can you?
I guess in exactly the same way you can contest what your existing electricity meter says. Perhaps this will give you the benefit of contesting that sort of thing earlier on. Maybe straight away, it looks as if they've got a problem. I can't believe I'm using so much. We can get a tech out and find out if there is a problem, or if perhaps somebody's left a heater on in a, down the shed that nobody was aware of. Okay. Rather than waiting for the end of the month for the bill, which is you know, a huge surprise and far too late by then. And of course, no meter readers holding keys to your property, no more access required, which is not a deal for some problems, for some properties. It's a big deal for others. I've had a lot of dog owners call me and ask to be first on the list, because they just don't want the hassle of every month, every 2 months, having to make arrangements for meter readers to safely read meters. So for some consumers, that'll be a real benefit. Back to the network. Talked a bit about outages and how the meters will let us know when the supply's off. There's probably a bigger benefit there for a lot of consumers in rural areas. They'll also let us know post-fault if the supply's been restored or not. At the moment, if I take the Easter weekend, we know we had a big issue on the network through Lager Bay area. We had guys out for hours, days, working on those areas. We fix the main line, we drive to the end of the main line, we test the voltage, yes, supply's on. But unless somebody's called us from a little spur up the back of the valley, which they may not have done because they've seen our guys up and down the road, working on the road, we don't actually know the supply's on to everybody or not. Yeah? Again, at the moment, the feedback is all from the consumer. With these meters, a simple poll after the fault will tell us, yes, we've got supply into that whole area, or no, there's still one or two consumers in the middle of that piece of network which don't have supply. I think that's going to be probably one of the earliest benefits that that consumers in a rural area will get. Fuse saving. I'm not sure how many people here have blown fuses in their homes due to overload. We have 900 consumers a year give us a call with part powers, no hot waters, no supply, simply due to a fuse blowing. Over 550 of those, almost 600 of those, are simply due to overload. We send out Colin, we send out Roger. On average, 88 minutes later, And about $220 later, we've identified there's been no fault at all. Simply an overload situation, change of fuse, power's back on. Customers disrupted for that time. As consumers, you will pay the cost. It's almost $100,000 a year, us going out changing fuses, simply for overloads. Having these meters, they can be set up to send a signal to the customer to let them know, hey, you've reached your limit, your contract. And instead of the fuse blowing out on the street, yourselves, the consumers, react to that. There's no cost. There's no 88-minute disruption to power. We think that's going to be a real benefit.
What limit are you talking about there?
The 15 kilowatts that homeowners are contracted, or we're contracted to supply to homeowners, 15 kilowatts per house. So that's measured at the moment by either a 60-amp fuse on the street or two lots of 40-amp fuses or three lots of 30-amp fuses on the street.
So if you installed some fairly big industrial thing in your own home, it might exceed that limit.
Yes, it may well exceed that limit. And what happens, some people do just that, and the fuse blows. We have a conversation, what's changed your behaviour lately? Oh, I've just bought myself a big welder, I'm getting into engineering, you're building a stock car or something. So we have a chat about, okay, either use your welder while you're not cooking a roast, or you can apply for an upgrade to your capacity. And those upgrades are quite costly if you're towards the end of the network. So some people try and manage below the limits that they've already got, and every now and again they don't get it right. This will help those customers. We won't be incurring cost change in those fuses.
So bringing it back to the view on the smart meter.
Yes.
It doesn't mean there's no fuse, it just means that you get a message through your email saying, oi, you're using too much.
You know, what the smart meter does is, it turns the power off for 60 seconds, turns it back on again. Which stops the fuse from blowing out on the street. And the homeowner says, oh, my lights have gone out. 6 seconds later, they come back on again. We followed that with a letter, of course. But instead of the 88-minute outage and the phone call and you're waiting for Colin to show up, put your fuse back in, it's just a one-minute outage. And then you go back to either managing your demand or get in touch with us and talk about it. Like that. Yeah.
I've got fuses in my power box. I don't blow fuses on the street, I blow fuses in my home.
Yeah, and some people do a good job of managing that. So you can change those fuses in your home with no cost at all, to parking to yourself, it doesn't involve us. Others don't do such a good job of having fuses in their power box. They rely on our fuse out on the street.
So why don't we change that?
Everybody makes mistakes down again. So if you blow once, one fuse every 2 years, then we fund that ourselves. And when I say we, I mean all consumers fund that. If you blow more than one every 2 years, then you do try and seek to recover those costs. Some people are more than happy to pay them, others not so much.
These are the issues that don't seem to concern me at all so far.
Except that in a portion of your power bill, you're paying for us to go and look after these consumers who perhaps are...
Well, I would suggest you correct that policy myself. And I'd like to know the charge, how much it costs to implement these smart meters instead of fixing the old fuse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's fair. $15 million we're looking at this investment. Power quality monitoring, as I say, the network is changing. We've got over 200 homes with solar panels on their roofs now. That is seeing electricity flowing effectively backwards up the network. The network was designed for power to flow from the national grid down to the consumers. Now it's flowing in two directions. We've got big water pumps, variable speed drives, all sorts of new devices on the network, which we need to know more about the voltage, the power flows, and these devices will give us that.
Yep. The smart meters automatically receive power from generators. Do they work backwards?
Yes. You mean if you've got a solar panel on your roof, can you be an exporter?
So the smart meter will replace the $1,000 or whatever that some poor generators have to pay to get a special meter at the moment?
Quite right, quite right. These devices can be set up to measure input energy or export energy, or both. And yeah, for these 200 generators we've got at the moment, it'll be a simple matter of changing the program in the device that's already on their home. Yeah, so I can't see why a retailer would want to charge you anything near $1,000 to do that sort of thing in the future.
What else are we going to do with them?
So I don't know who's inspected their switchboard lately.
Great.
It's a mystery.
Yeah, it is a bit of a mystery, unless you're in the industry. As I said, most homes, 3 meters, one relay. We're going to replace all that with one device. I'm sure a lot of you have seen the recent movie at the theatre over the last couple of weeks. That's a little cutting from that movie. The device on the left is the smart meter that was installed in Canterbury. The device on the right is a little logging device. And the device that's failed is the relay. It's not the smart meter as was reported. From NZ Fire stats, we can't find any record of any smart meter ever failing and causing a fire in a home. There have been a number of reports that it would be fair to assume that the installer putting the smart meter on didn't do a great job of installing the smart meter, left some connections loose, and resulted in a fire such as this.
So you're talking about a new digital meter?
Oh, any meter. Any meter. Installer putting on any meter needs to obviously loosen screws, tighten screws.
But I'm just referring to the fires. So those fires never happened.
No. The NZ Fire Service, in the following on from that quote in the movie, back in 2010, they said there were 422 house fires in New Zealand. That was represented as being due to smart meters. That's not correct.
How many were there?
There's none reported as being due to smart meters.
I wonder where they got that information.
From the TV3 news report that showed that there were 422 electrical fires nationally. For some reason, the translation was lost, and that was turned from 422 national electrical fires into 422 smart meter fires.
Did you quickly chase that up?
Yeah. No, thanks for that.
They happened.
So, over the next 2 years, we'll be visiting all your switchboards, taking the old meters off, taking your old relay off, and replacing with a new electronic meter.
Does the smart meter go inside the house or remain outside the house?
It'll go in the same place your existing meter is. So, yeah, some homes it'll be inside, some it'll be outside. And, of course, just by default, because we have trained electricians looking at the switchboard, you'll get a cursory once over as to... There will be switchboards that we can't... Well, I should say can't. There will be switchboards that we won't touch. There'll be wiring in such a state that it's not safe for us to disturb anything. You know, those will be separate conversations with homeowners, recommendations about what we do.
What do you
want these meters? Oh, we'll talk about that at the
end. It's not the switchboard, though, it's the meter board, isn't it?
I do mean the meter board. Okay. Yep, strictly correct. In most instances, they're the same, but you're quite right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Would we still be able to turn off the main switch and replace our own local fuses, our household fuses?
Yes, yep. The meter will go in exactly the same place as the existing old meter does. Yep, so yep, no issues with using your main switch like that.
Will we be able to turn it off completely?
To turn what off completely?
The new digital meter. At the moment, you turn the switch off and your power's off.
That will be exactly the same.
So it won't be transmitting, I'm off.
No. They have a facility so that when they lose power, they transmit for a few seconds to say, hey, I've got no power, and that comes back through that control room. So turn your main switch off.
we'll get a transmit, hey, I've got no power. That'll last for a few seconds, and then it's completely dead, just like your existing meter.
And then you come running out to fix it.
Well, we need to put some processes in place to work out. There are batch owners, of course,
yeah,
that turn the power off when they leave. We need to work that out. Yeah.
You haven't worked it out yet?
No. I'm giving the answer to my head. So, of course, a lot of people have talked about RF fields. In New Zealand, RF emissions are controlled by the NES, the National Environmental Standard. That standard quotes New Zealand Australia standards, which was set up based on the World Health Organization guidelines. The New Zealand standard quotes thresholds that are more than 50 times lower than the World Health Organization threshold for with identified potential risk. The emissions from our meters are more than 200 times lower than those thresholds.
Could you just say what the threshold is rather than it's 200 lower or... So at the moment you've got the New Zealand Australia thresholds are based on World Health Organization standards. So what is that standard?
Yep. Can you leave me your name and I will get all that data because I don't have those numbers off the top of my head. But yeah, I'm quite happy to copy those standards to you. If you look on our website, there is information from both University of Canterbury and an independent study that we did, and those numbers are quoted in those two studies. I find them hard to interpret, but they are quoted in there, and I'm quite happy to give you more detail on that if you need more after reading those two papers.
And what's actually the standard measuring? Is it measuring whether or not you're going to get copped by the radiation, or is it is the standard how much of it would actually put my hand in front of it, or is it?
It was the
how
will,
much is coming out.
The thresholds are all about the World Health Organization thresholds are all about a level at which they witness injury to persons, damage to persons. New Zealand standards are set, as I say, lower than those thresholds, and our equipment is lower again. The Ministry of Health has got quite a bit of detail on where the World Health Organization got its numbers from. Jump on their website and get that detail.
Is there any measurement of how much of microwave is actually sitting around inside a house as coming in 24/7? It's just a constant coming in rather than a total hot little patch 1 minute out of 900.
Yeah, well, for our meters, they are idle for 99%, well, over 99% of the time. So once every 4 hours, they transmit their information back to us. Over the 20-year life of the meter, the average meter will talk for about 45 minutes. Those communications, as you can see from the chart, well, if I go back and said the technology that we're using, the radio waves, similar levels of technology, although different frequencies, but similar levels to your cordless phone at home, your garage door opener, your microwave oven, your cell phone. And to assess the risk to health, there are really three things to consider. The first is the amount of transmission, so 45 minutes over a 20-year period. The second is the level of the transmission, so more than 200 times lower than the threshold. And the third is the proximity to the meter when it's transmitting. Most of our meters are on external walls of garages, homes. Internally, they may be in a hallway up high. Most of the meters are not in living areas. So you've got to think about, because the radio waves reduce greatly with distance, it's all about your proximity to the meter. When you're using a cell phone or a cordless phone at home, obviously it's stuck to your head. When these meters are transmitting,
the chances of being actually close to one is very, very low.
How much more powerful are they to a cell phone in radiation? Is it 10 times, you know, maybe only after a pulse?
You can't see very well from where you are, but this chart, which I'm happy to share, is on our website. The numbers for your benefit, the minimum levels from a cell phone are 10 milliwatts per square metre, and from one of our meters is 0.001 milliwatts per square meter when you're a meter away from it. So there's a factor of 10,000.
You said that it's only transmitting once every 4 hours, did you say?
Yeah.
I was under the impression from the film Take Your Power Back that actually it might only be idle for 99% of the time or whatever, but it's like milliseconds,
yeah,
sort of over a constant period. So you can say that's 99% of the time, but it's actually going.
I did see that in the film.
Yeah.
I don't know what system they're using. Ours doesn't do that. It's once every 4 hours. The meter wakes up, talks to the head end, tells us what it's done, goes back to sleep again.
And how long is that transmission?
I've never tested it. I've been told it's down to a second or two every 4 hours, which is where you get this cumulative of 45 minutes over a 20-year period. I guess I could do the math.
You say it's only 45 minutes in the life of the thing.
Yes,
could that be changed?
On average.
I mean, could that be changed if for some reason somebody decided, no, we want it more often than that? Can they change that?
Definitely could be changed. Could be changed. Yeah, if for some reason we needed to talk to these things every hour, which I can't imagine why we would,
and you say proximity, if you've got it on the outside of the house and
yeah,
it's just through the wall to where you sit all the time.
Yeah. I've actually got some really good papers that talk about that. When you're a metre in front of it, standing outside in free air, versus standing behind the wall that it's on where you're only centimetres away, you'd be surprised how much the walls attenuate that signal. And I will get those up on our website so you can have a look at them.
Does this meter talk to other electronic equipment in the house?
No, not on day one. It's got functionality that if somebody wants to do something like that, you might have heard of the term Zigbee. There are some appliance manufacturers that are making devices with Zigbee in them that can communicate with a meter.
What's Zigbee?
It's another communications protocol. So if you wanted to go down to Harvey Norman's and buy a dishwasher that would talk to our meter, then you could do that. But at the moment, we're not turning that on, and we've got no plans to do that on.
At the moment,
but it's an option that's available.
It's an option available if somebody wanted it. Yep.
I've actually got a few questions, and I guess we're heading in that direction.
No, yeah, we're probably not far away from question time. So, no doubt there'll be, well, maybe one or two people in the room who don't want a meter. I can't imagine why, or the benefits. But our aim is to install these devices across the region. There'll be some benefits at a network level that we can't get if there are a bunch of homes out there, a bunch of our connection points that we can't get voltage and current information from. And I'd really like to convince you that us embarking on this project is not putting you in any more risk tomorrow than you already face today in the environment that we all live in.
If a person elects not to have a smart meter,
yep,
is there a likelihood that you will then impose a charge on them to have their meter read?
Network Tasman won't. That is a question for the retailers. At the moment, all of the retailers have said no. But down the track, when the retailers need to employ a meter reader just to go and read a handful of meters in the region, rather than the 38,000 customers that they're servicing at the moment, who knows what they'll do.
Right.
Yep.
Can I ask that people let this man finish his presentation before you ask any more questions? We're running out of time here, and I have questions too.
One more line to go. As a lot of you are aware, Sam has done a great job of advertising our website in the Golden Bay News. if you don't want a meter, go to our website, put in your name, put your ICP number, some contact details, and we can take out the communication device and put in the meters on your switchboard so that they won't communicate with us.
So you still have a smart meter, but it just won't communicate.
Still need to have a meter, still need to measure energy,
yeah.
But it won't communicate. It takes away all of those RF issues if I haven't been able to convince you, and if over the next couple of years I can't convince you that, that they're safe, then we can head down that track.
Something
that
measures energy?
It does, yep, and somebody drives out and reads it once every couple of months, and it works fine for that. It's worked fine for 100 years for that, but these devices will give us so much more, help us do a far better job of delivering energy to you, and there'll be people out there that aren't happy with getting a bill every 2 months. They need that information and they want that information far more easily, and we can do that with these new meters. And I'm pretty sure,
right, with these smart meters, I actually sent in an email a couple of weeks back asking about grid intertie inverters and whether these meters would be able to work with them properly, particularly ones that would have automatic disconnect and reconnect functions. Now, I never got an answer to that. I would assume that either people were finding out about that and hadn't found out yet, or didn't know and didn't care to respond to me about that. Now, I would prefer if the first was the answer.
You don't recall who you sent the email to?
Whoever was in the, I don't recall the name, it was on the web pages, which I read thoroughly.
Right, cool.
All right, and yep. There was nothing in there about my question.
Yeah.
And, for example, Pierce here has a grid intertie inverter on his. Now, his, as far as I know, does not have an automatic disconnect and reconnect, which is the kind that if I was going to install one, I would want to put on.
And you'd need to, because that's what the New Zealand standard says. You can only put in a grid tie system if it's got automatic disconnect.
Yeah, but what about reconnect?
I assume when they say automatic disconnect, they mean that an inverter type that reconnects once the supply has been restored.
No, that's not true. Okay, so somebody needs to investigate this and get back, because I don't want I don't care about the smart meter. I'm perfectly happy with that getting installed.
Yep.
But I don't want it done if later on I'm going to have to face the expense of putting in a different meter that will deal with this.
No. I can tell you now, categorically, that whether you're an export only, or a generator, an import only, or both, you'll get the same meter on your board, and it's simply a different program which we send over the year. So one day you're a homeowner who's importing energy, you've done your research, you want to put some solar panels on the roof, through application process to become an exporter, simply change the program and the meter, and all of a sudden it will measure the energy you're exporting. There's no physical changes required, and I can guarantee it'll be the same device.
But will it automatically reconnect when the grid goes back on after the grid has been disconnected?
Oh, the meter doesn't. The meter doesn't do any of that. It doesn't do the disconnect, reconnect on grid at all. No, that's down to your inverter. The meter won't do any of that.
And will the meter cooperate with these kind of inverters, which are available and being used in Australia, for example?
Yeah.
You're sure about that?
I am.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know.
But if you
want to drop me down with your email address, I can follow up as to where your question has got to and email you an answer. But if you're happy with this, I'm happy with this.
Okay, but you should know that nobody answered that. And
I
don't know if I'm the only one that
give me your name and I'll
it'll be useful and we can follow up. We've got to.
You have some questions here.
Yep. Basically, what I gather, you've got a microcomputer. Smart meter is a computer. It's measuring voltage, it's measuring amps, it's measuring usage. My question is about how closely is it measuring, because in the movie it talks about how it can tell what you're turning on, when you're doing it. It's monitoring your usage entirely through its profiling.
Yes.
What you're doing in your house.
Yep.
And how much of that information are you taking at the moment? when you put the smart meter in.
Yeah.
Measuring what, you know, you more information you can get, the better you can manage the grid, but then there becomes a privacy issue.
Quite right. It sounded pretty amazing, the claims that were made. I guess I'd like to see the device that knew when you turned on your kettle and turned on your toaster.
Well, you were talking about the devices that was the Zigbee, whatever.
That's right, yep, Zigbee chips, that some manufacturers are putting in appliances for homeowners. So what the meter does is it measures, as you say, voltage, current, and power factor between the two. It sums it up on a half hourly basis and it chucks a number into a register. Every half hour, we get the amount of energy that's been used in that 30 minutes. It's one number for 30 minutes.
Right.
I can't imagine how these devices would know what's going on.
So that's
you can do a Fourier transform on the input signals and see how they change and their characteristics of the waveforms for different appliances that can be teased out of that. Okay, I don't think it's hard and fast science yet, but theoretically it's quite possible.
Leads on
right.
to the next.
Yep.
So you can categorically say that you're not taking that information at this stage.
Quite correct.
Yep. But being a computer, you can upgrade at some point firmware over your network,
yep.
and potentially in the future, that may become an option that you may want to take.
I guess these are all potentials. You're quite right. It's a mini computer.
Well, I guess my question is, what safeguards, if you've got a smart meter in, are you going to advise consumers that you're going to be taking this information? So I can see 5-10 years down the track, things have advanced. We're in a modern world. Things are changing. Are you going to advise that you're taking more information out? How would anybody know if you were drilling directly with the meter? No one knows what you're doing with the meter.
Yeah, I mean, where is your
company? Word would get out, I'd imagine. Someone would talk.
Yeah, I mean, we're just a New Zealand company bound by New Zealand privacy rules. I can't imagine us doing anything like that without the consumers involved.
Right. And the other question I've got was, in the film again, they also talk, because you have to analyse the powers coming through the meter, and because you're taking so much information out of the power, like voltage and that they talked about the duty power, which is changing. It's no longer a nice smooth frequency. It's got other frequencies coming out of it, which is then increases your amount of electromagnetic radiation.
Yep.
Have you tested this? Can you say that the meters are safe?
I'd be happy for anyone to look at the power output of the meter.
Have you guys tested it?
No. We're confident that these devices measure the elements they're supposed to measure and don't do anything with the sine wave.
Right.
Okay. There's three devices I plug my phone in, which have A to D converters inside them, which are operating in this room at the moment. My cell phone charger, the DC bus inside the laptop. These things are common devices or common components of everyday devices. Our job is to ensure the harmonics don't reach a certain level on the network. We monitor that at the upper network and also through the middle of the network and substations. But at the moment, we don't monitor that down at the consumer level without going out, making a special effort, putting test gear on, and every now and again we'll do something like that. Variable speed drives for irrigation pumps do give us problems in some areas. And we make a special trip to measure that with monitoring kit. Now we've got the potential of having information at our fingertips from these meters. I think it's a huge step in the right direction. If people are concerned about dirty power, we'll actually be able to know what's going on all the time with respect to the 50 hertz sine wave, rather than waiting for someone to complain and then driving out and doing the investigation.
Martin,
you had a question.
There are people asking questions that they, you know, the option seems to be at the moment a smart meter with a tracking device. The opt-out seems to be without a tracking device. But there are people who want to keep their analog meters. Is that a problem?
The problem with that is all meters need to be recertified.
If it's recertified, can mean we've checked your analog meter and it's okay.
Technically, it can mean that. Yep.
Yeah.
We've got a project to put new meters into the network so we can get more information out of them on the back of of metering consumption.
So there's not going to be a pressure on people who want to keep their analog meters if they're in good working order?
Oh, there will be a pressure on
them. Yeah, I know there will.
You know, I guess that's why I'm here today.
Yeah, yeah.
I would like to see everybody with one of these devices. I don't understand why people wouldn't want to have one of these devices replacing the multiple meters on their board at the moment. And I hope I can convince everybody to take at least a new meter, and preferably a new meter with a communication module so that I can get the benefits out.
And there was just one other question. There is also a concern about landfill. All of these, you know, old analog meters, which is a hell of a lot.
Yeah, it is.
You know, they're all going to be going into our landfill.
I don't know where they're going, to be honest. They're owned by Contact Energy at the moment. I can find out what their plans are.
I think that would be...
They could be recycled.
Well, yeah, but will they?
My understanding is actually they process them, break them down and get all the copper and all those metals out of them.
Where? Pakistan?
Sorry?
Pakistan? China?
China.
Well, it'll be interesting to know. Those are some kind of questions that I think people would like to... And to be really sure that it's not a maybe, but, you know...
Because you're right, there's a lot of kit coming out.
If your smart meters communicate wirelessly,
yes.
Do you need a local receiver transmitter? Because they surely can't, one meter can't wirelessly communicate with you over in Richmond.
Yep, no, you're quite right. We have a radio mesh that goes across the region, and the meters talk to the mesh, and the mesh talks actually through the Vodafone network. To the main.
So it's going through the local Vodafone.
Yeah, the ones in the bay will hear you. Yep.
You might have some trouble. I just thought you were putting in 30 relays across the bay. That's the information that came to us from Network Tasman. 30 relays.
30 sounds a bit high,
across the bay.
We are
individual, nothing to do with cell phone towers. They're a whole separate network.
30 sounds high.
It's not what you just told us.
The relays are the devices in this mesh, this radio mesh that we're putting a
yeah, they'll be the transmitting as well.
Yep.
How much will they be transmitting?
At
what frequency, how often?
900 megahertz. It's in the ISM, M for Mary band. The same frequency that the meters are talking on. The meter talks to the relay, and the relay talks to the access point, and the access point is communicating with the Vodafone.
There's questions in the back first.
If someone came to check my meter and it wasn't okay, what happens then if I want to keep my meter but it's not up to standard?
Well, before anybody comes anywhere near your property, we'll have a conversation. We know that most of the meters in the area aren't up to standard, as you say, need recertified. Contact and the Genesis and their other retailers we're working with have asked us to change all of the meters on all of their customers' sites. So well before we send anybody gets in his truck and starts driving off down the street, we'll have a conversation and we'll find out whether we're putting a smart meter on your home or whether we're putting a meter on without a communication device.
Yes, but those are the only two options if your meter is not up to standard.
No. I've had my hand up for about the whole time since I've got to ask a question. I understand that you've got a list of 32, I think it's 32 questions that have been submitted.
Yes,
and
I can't remember the number, but I do have a list.
It's quite a long list, and some of it's quite complicated. So I just want, before time runs out, and you all have to rush off to your next meeting, I'd like to your assurance that we will be getting those answered in full, in writing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've.
I have had that conversation, and I said I'm very happy to send it out when the answer.
So we can place
that
at the library or something like that.
Oh, and I'll just email.
If it comes to the community board as well, it actually could go on the Golden Bay Weekly as well. I mean, there's
we'll make sure any information comes back.
Right, I was just wondering, passed around.
Yeah.
Some of those questions related to doing tests after the network's actually operated. So we've got no answers today. But two-thirds of them will have answers too. And the rest, yeah, we'll keep them all in the
background. So yes. You can't get these answers from some other setup?
We can, and yeah. Those answers are on our website.
Liz?
Just two quick points. You said a couple of times, nothing gets reduced if it's not measured.
Correct.
And in my mind, the corollary is everything gets increased whether it's measured or not. And I mean, I've heard from people who've had smart meters installed that their electricity bill went up. Now,
yes.
Is this because they've been cheating the electricity company before, or because their meter's been faulty, or does it go up?
I can think of three reasons why your electricity bill will go up. The first would be you are actually on the wrong tariff. The meter was measuring, thinking you were on one tariff, and the retailer was thinking you were on something else. And that's corrected when the meter comes along. I can't imagine there's many of those, but that's one possible reason. The second is perhaps, and I'm sure there'd be nobody in this room that falls in that category, perhaps somebody was actually siphoning power off before it got to the meter and actually cheating us, the consumers, the rest of the people who aren't siphoning power off. And the third is the meter actually running slow. The meter you've got on your switchboard at the moment, which hasn't been looked at for 40 years, running slowly. When a new meter gets put on and it's reading accurately, then obviously you'll be able to charge.
Well, I've got a brand spanking new house and a brand spanking new meter, so my meter's okay. Right. I mean, 15 years down the line, maybe, but I've got, you know, my meter should be fine, shouldn't it? It's just been installed within the last 6 months.
Yes, it should be fine.
So
your bill won't change when we change it to an advance.
Yeah, well, I might as well.
Lee, you've got a question.
Yeah, two questions. I think I can remember one of them. First of all, I'm a little bit confused. Is there any reason why I wouldn't change to a smart meter and not have it transmit? Are there any emissions from that meter if it's not switched on to transmit it to the transmitting mode? So it's not going to hurt me to get my current analog meter taken out.
Correct.
Put that in and have the transmission mode switched on.
Quite right.
And the second read, you just spoke about meters, old meters under reading. Is there a case of the old meters over reading as well?
There is. There is. What happens, and it gets a bit technical about how these old analog meters work, but effectively the electric current that you're demanding through your house creates a force that makes the meter spin, and that force is compensated by a magnet, which slows the disc out. The faster the disc goes, the more the register counts and the more you pay. There are cases where those magnets have come unaligned. They're either moving in or out. Some cases the meter will slow down. Some cases the meter will speed up.
Yep. Well, I think the main question was there's not going to be any harm come from a smart meter that is not connected to the not transmitted.
An electronic meter that's got the communication device removed versus an analog meter are effectively the same beast.
Just a question here now.
Fine, okay. Another technical question. You finished? Another technical question. I know that a lot of people here that are concerned about exposure to EMF. Is the firmware in these meters reprogrammable for different frequencies in case it's discovered that there really is a significant sensitivity to some of these frequencies? That's one of the major problems with electromagnetic radiation. People really don't know. I mean, people that are investigating it, there's no agreement at the moment about which frequencies, if any, people are sensitive to, and how many people are sensitive to these frequencies. Now, if this gets clarified in the future, you would want to have meters that could be reprogrammed to send signals at other frequencies, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I can't answer that question. I don't know if...
Okay,
if
so that's another question for you.
For the list, yeah. I'll have to keep your name one of these days.
Okay.
Write it on a little paper and I'll get it. Down the back there.
I'm wondering, because, of course, people have seen this movie.
Yes.
And you say something, what you presented here is completely the opposite of what the movie is telling us. So, why has, you know, I mean, first of all, the question is, why do you think so many million dollars were involved in making this movie to no one's profit, just for information's sake? And why are we not to trust the movie and we are to trust you? You know, when the doctors, they're saying that the stuff is bad for you, that you will have a cell change, whether you manifest it in diseases or not, you have a cell change when you're next to these things. And,
yeah,
you know, I don't feel safe having one of those next to my house and close to my children.
Yeah. The only fact that I have got any information on from that movie is around the number of fires. Yeah, and that was a simple Google TV3 news advert from 2010. And it was quite clear that the comments that the New Zealand Fire Service were making were taken out of context. As far as concerns the movie made around health issues, I'm an engineer. I am relying on the World Health Organization getting it right and New Zealand standard bodies getting it right. And I can demonstrate that our system has minute exposure levels compared to those standards. And I hope those experts have got their science right around those standards.
I guess you could say that the meter that they're using in the States is a different make, it's a different model. Yeah. You don't know what emissions that they're putting out compared to what your what your meter has been doing.
Down the back.
Who will own the information that these is collected from these meters?
That's a great question.
I can answer that.
Yeah.
I think in your terms and conditions that you've signed over with your retailer, I think you have assigned ownership of that information to the retailer.
Right. How finely is the consumption resolved in fractions of a kilowatt hour?
Just, you mean the 30 minutes? So we're just getting data out of this on a 30 minute.
So it transmits every 4 hours,
yep.
And it will transfer, therefore,
eight pieces of
information.
Yep.
How finely resolved is that? Back to a thousandth of a kilowatt hour, for example?
I can have a look at that. I'm just trying to think. The numbers I've seen have been 2 decimal places. But I can look into that.
Thank you.
Yep.
That,
make sure I've got your name before.
That's of interest.
Yep.
Are there any limits on either who the information will be transferred or what it may be used for, either now or in the future?
I guess it goes back to your first question, doesn't it, about that ownership?
Ownership and transference and use of the information.
Yeah.
My point is that when I designed the industrial version of these meters some years ago, the state of the art then, with prices of components as they were then, was the meters would resolve to a thousandth of a kilowatt hour, and they recorded a whole month's half-hourly consumption, which was loaded into the system over the air at the end of the month.
Yeah.
To put this in context, if you get up and go for a leak in the night, you turn on one light bulb and you're not back in bed with it switched off within 36 seconds, it shows up on your log. This amount of information about houses is perhaps a sensitive matter for many people. And this leads on to my other questions, not only who may get hold of it and what may they use it for.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, for example, there's a company in Wellington called Datamine, which specialises in mining minute amounts of information out of bulk data by program.
Yeah.
So, is the information, when it goes over the local radio network, is it encrypted or is it in plain?
Yeah, it's encrypted.
Good, okay. And how much does 1 meter cost, Network Tasman, one of these smart meters?
Are we happy to share that information?
No.
But you can work it out from 40 odd thousand to 15 million, something, I don't know. Who's got a calculator?
Plus
inflation.
Have you got any more? Because there's other questions.
Okay, well, I can leave it at that. I could write a question.
Actually, the only thing I will say on that is there was a number quoted in the mail, which was about $400. And I'm not paying anywhere near that sort of money for any of these meters.
Thank you.
I think Martine and then yourself. Yes.
Thank you. I know everyone here has different concerns. Mine is the health issue. I looked at dirty electricity long before smart meters came in, so I have concerns about it. Having said that, I have Wi-Fi in my house. I do make some choices, you know, that I kind of do a trade-off with. But, you know, this meter in my house will be right between my daughters and my bedroom. So I do have concerns, and I would rather keep my analog meter. And I'm looking in the Electricity Authority's fact sheet number 6 from February 2013. It says there is no regulatory requirement for parties to install or use smart meters in New Zealand, which sort of flies in the face of what you're saying to me. I mean, I'd love to believe you, Andrew. I'd love to say, great, you know, I love technology. Yep. I do. But I do have concerns about the health side.
Think of the advantages you might have to do your hair in the morning.
Andrew, do you want to respond to that? Can you respond to that? Because there's more questions.
Yes, yes. You're quite right. The EA hasn't made it mandatory to change meters to be meters that communicate with us. Our project is to roll out smart meters, as people call them, advanced meters, meters that communicate with. If we end up with a section of the community that can't, I guess, balance the risks of what our meters are doing versus what they're doing with their cell phones versus what they're doing with their Wi-Fi, then that's going to be another conversation with that person's retailer and see what.
But nothing is going to be forced on people if they do not want something.
We've taken a stance, being consumer-owned, that we're not going to force anybody.
Okay.
Anything.
Thank you.
While there's no cost now, I think it would be naive to think retailers won't be charging in the future.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
My question is about this forcing stuff. You know, in the movie, they install these meters behind people's back. So if you just say, no, I don't want it, and you refuse to give your consent, you won't get a smart meter?
That's correct.
With or without Wi-Fi?
Once we've agreed what you want, then I will make sure that.
So that means
I don't have to contact you in advance?
No. Get on our website, put your name, contact details on our Contact Us page, and let us know what you do want, what you don't want, so that we can make sure that you're on our register and that's dealt with prior to the rollout.
I've been on the website and it doesn't give you the option to keep my analog one. It just either connect with the new one or the one that doesn't communicate.
So there isn't
the choice to keep what things are there. Yeah.
There is a free form in that other. You can write whatever story you'd like to write me.
Okay.
But I really think that you should go with either a meter that communicates with us or a meter that doesn't.
Jenny, this question.
Yes. In a situation like Martine's, is it not possible to sort of discuss moving the meter when you put in the new one?
Definitely.
We've
got a couple of homeowners who have two-storey houses and the meter board is in the workshop, and they're fine with that, but the child's bedroom is straight above the workshop. So what we're going to do is put an external antenna, run it for a couple of metres outside and then put it on the outside wall, so there'll be no radiation inside the home, and they'd be happy with that. So that's an option for you,
Martin. Thank you.
Carolyn,
The terms and conditions that you mentioned, Wayne, that bothers me now, that if we have signed at some stage in the past that we agree with the terms and conditions, because on most things they say, are you happy to have your information shared? And usually I tick the no box.
I just suggest for people that have got concerns, go into your retailer's website and look for their terms and conditions.
Okay.
That's something you'll need to address with them.
Yeah.
I guess one thing you could solve with the analog versus the digital meter
is with the non-transmitting, for people that are worried about RF, is to do some tests and see what your analog meter is putting out as far as frequency compared to a non-transmitting digital. I would be surprised if actually the digital one is doing less than what your analog one is. So I would say that fairly. That would put a lot of people that are worried about the radiation of a non-transmitting smart meter to rest. So it would be a pretty simple test to do.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that and throw some numbers up on the website. Mm.
Down the back.
I own a home that is rented, and I'm told that because I'm not a contact customer, I can't say that I don't want a smart meter. But it's my house. I own it. And I'm concerned, because if I was to buy a new house and it had a smart meter in it, I'd rather buy a house that doesn't have a smart meter.
Yeah.
I want to retain my analog meter in the house that I rent out.
Right, yep. Yep.
And I'm being told that because I'm not a customer, it's not my contract, that I don't have a say in it.
I'm not surprised that the retailers in response, they have a relationship with the person that buys the power, not the person that buys the house. I would be still quite happy for you to register and have a talk to your tenant, perhaps, if you can register and get an error of it, and then throw it on the website.
Can I just ask a question onto that? Will you contact the actual owner of the property rather than the person who pays the power bill? Because I'm in the same situation where I have got a house which is actually overfull. I've got a bit of the rental. Now, will the person who's renting, will they get a letter saying, oh, we're going to come to your place next week and put in the smart meter?
Yeah, I'm sure
they will. I won't get it.
No, those letters are put out by the retailers.
Right.
This project is run by the retailers. I would suspect they will be conversing with the people that buy the power, i.e. your tenant, rather than looking around for who the actual landowner is.
Yeah. And you should talk to your tenant, surely, and get them to notify you.
Well, I have actually asked for that.
Any further questions?
So it's not you that's installing meters, it's the retailers.
It gets back to the first slide where it's all a bit fuzzy. It's that we are out there doing the work. We're out there spending the money. But because you have your relationship with the retailer, they're driving the project.
So it's them that have to talk to?
Everywhere else, if you speak to the retailer, or I should say everywhere else you'll be asked to speak to the retailer, we've taken a step ahead here because of our ownership structure, and I'm happy to take all your messages to the retailers and make sure you get this.
You kind of avoided the question about whether the implication of the information becoming available from individual households, you're saying that this goes to the retailer, right? Now, what is your contractual obligation to the retailer to supply that information? You don't know.
Yeah, that's what the project's about, is we get restore the meters and we supply the information to the retailers.
From individual householders, and there's no guarantee that this information, given the current contractual situation, would not be used on an individual basis instead of a group basis, which would make some sense in a smart grid.
Well, the retailers will be using it on an individual basis to send you out your bill each month.
I understand that. The question is, what are they going to do? Are they going to be able to pass this on to third-party data miners, as that gentleman asked about? In the contract, is that specified?
It's not.
Not in our contract.
Not in ours, but I think it'll be the terms and conditions of your retailer that you need to check.
Yeah, but we could solve the whole problem if you're in your contract, you put that, then nobody would have to worry about it with any retailer, which is the sensible way to do it. Okay, so that's my third question, isn't it? That you can't answer.
Well, the problem is the ownership of that data. Your contract is with the retailer, not Network Tasman.
But Network Tasman is supplying them with that data.
Yes, and we're contracted to supply billing data to the retailer full stop.
So you have no control over that.
That data is only allowed to be used by that retailer only and not allowed to be sold
on to a third party. This is my question.
You could put that in your stipulation, could you not? Could you not stipulate that has to be the case? They have to sign an agreement with you that they cannot use any personal information for any other purpose bar the running of the system in a good way.
That's the one thing I've come away from here. You've answered all the questions bar the information and the fact that these emitters are upgradable.
Yes,
they can potentially in the future sense what's going on, create that profile, and we don't know where that information is going to. It's not going to happen now, but who's going to say that's not going to happen? That's the one thing that I want to walk away from here unsure about. But as you have the opportunity to, by the sounds, to create a contract or to suppress that.
Yeah, those contracts are all written, but we can get back to that.
Down here, I have one question, and it concerns my situation. I've got a solar water heater on the roof, and there's a controller inside the house.
Yep.
Now, I've got that controller set to monitor the temperature of the tank in a certain position. If that temperature is not at a set temperature, at a set level, then my electric immersion heater switches on.
Yes.
At a certain time.
Yep.
Which is 4:30. And I know that's switched on because there's a red light showing and it's winking on the meter.
Yes.
Now, if I had a smart meter installed, do I lose that option to be able to change things around?
Nothing will change.
Nothing at all. So there'll still be a red light.
So, where's this red light at the moment? Where's the red light at the moment? Is that on the old analog meter?
No, it's on the meter. It's on the outside of the house. I've got 3 meters in a box.
Right.
And one of them is the water meter.
Okay, so it must be an electrical meter already. It doesn't have dials on it. It must be an electrical meter already.
Yes, it is. It's only 3 years old.
Right. Yep. I'm trying to think whether our red light, whether our winking light is red or a different colour.
It doesn't really matter, does it? I think it sounds like it's still going, whether it's not.
Yeah. Nothing will change.
That winking light tells me that it's on.
Yes.
Now, if I don't know whether it's on or not, and I don't get any hot water, or I don't get enough hot water, then I think to myself, well, how can I reset the controller to bring the heat on?
When we change the meter, you'll be able to see that it's on. You'll be able to push a button and see how much energy it's used in the last half hour, and in the last 1 hour, and the last 2 hours.
The meter's in a box, and it's got screws, and I can't reach it because it's too far away. So I can't actually reach the meter.
Well, if you could reach it, you could show all those things.
Sarah, I want to make sure you have a question.
Can you tell me the make and model? And is it of the meter that's...
Yeah, Landis and Gear.
Has it got a specification?
There's about 3 different models
you're
that we're
use 3 different ones.
Installing across all homes and businesses in the area. They are all from the U350 range. E350 range.
A quick question out the back, and then we're going to have to call it quits.
Well, $15 million to compensate for a few fuses that get cut off and a few jobs, and a couple of need jobs. We can read our own meters. We need to figure out how much power we've used every day, and we can read our own meters. $15 million is a lot of money.
$15 million to change the 40,000 meters?
Yeah.
Compared to, I don't know how many million to change 120,000 meters.
Smart grids.
They're going to need to be recertified, the existing ones, if we were to continue with them, and that's not really the option because it's not the benefits
So how much to recertify the current each?
Well, as you said, 100,000 of them, what, 100?
Yeah, no, I mean, there'll be difference. Recertify a meter, take it off the wall, take it to the test house, do some tests on it, bring it back, screw it on the wall again. I don't have those numbers, probably dearer than putting a new one on.
That's nearly $400 per customer, and we are going to pay that ourselves.
You're already paying to get the meter read now, so it should be the same.
Should be the same. It's at $400 a year to get your meter, or $400.
There's a in your power bill. There's a certain amount every month that you pay to have the meter read.
How much is it?
Well, that's the retailer that charges that. So, and that's 70% that you pay to the retailer.
All I'm saying is that the $15 million you're spending, the customers are going to pay for that, obviously.
Yeah. The retailer.
It's not a gift. Yeah.
The retailers rent those meters back from us.
And charge us.
And I'm hoping that in that 70% of your power bill you already pay for the existing meter that's there and the existing meter reading that's taking place every 2 months, that rental should be accumulated inside that 70% of the existing bill.
I think at this stage we better call it quits. It's gone 12 o'clock and we've had a pretty good innings of questions. You probably haven't got all your answers the way you wanted them, but I think we've covered a lot of the points, and I think it'd be good to have a look at the website because there's some good information on that, just as good background. And thank you very much for the opportunity from the Community Board to present today.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming, too.
I'd just like to say thank you to Andrew, Tony and Wayne. And it's really great that Sage is here. She's been taping all this today. And I'm just wondering, Sage, is it possible for Network Tasman to have a copy of that tape so that all of those questions can be transcribed? Because for every one person that's here today, there's several behind these people who would like these answers too, because questions and answers are what this community is seeking, and we really appreciate you coming here. And I believe we've begun the dialogue. I don't think it's quite finished yet, but thank you so much for beginning this dialogue with us today and being so willing to come and share, because it has been and will continue to be a fairly worrying issue for a lot of people. So I hope that you have allayed some fears today, but I guess that for every question that's been answered, there's another one brewing. So the questions and answers to this community would be really appreciated, and if the Golden Bay Weekly could have a copy of that, then it goes to everybody.
We'll go home and transcribe that.
Hurry up.
We'll have a copy by TikTok.
Hurry up.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you to our meeting.